Now, another method that is used is to attempt to bring man up to God's level. That means that we try to say man has reached a sinless plateau and that he's living on this very high plateau. Well, John deals with that. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's even worse than being a liar. When you get to the place where you say you don't have any sin in your life, there's no truth in you at all. It doesn't mean now you've just lied. It means that you don't even have the truth, my friend. And you're doing what? You deceive yourself. Now, you don't deceive your wife. You don't deceive your husband. You don't deceive the preacher. You don't deceive your friends. It's something that you just can't do. Now, I ran into this very early in my training as a minister. In fact, when I went to college as a freshman, my first roommate was a young man also studying for the ministry, and he was a sweet boy in many ways. The only trouble with him was he was perfect, and he shocked me. In fact, when I entered the room, he was not in at the time, and so when he came in, why, he introduced himself, and I thought I was going to meet a buddy, but I found out I didn't meet a buddy. He informed me that he had not committed a sin in so many years. I don't know whether it was a year, 2 or 3 years. It just shocked me to meet a fellow that hadn't committed a sin. Now, any room that I live in, things go wrong. It's always been that way. And things went wrong in that room. Now, I'm in a very unusual position. I'm living in a room, two of us are in there, and one of us can't commit a sin or do anything wrong, really, and something goes wrong in the room. Guess who's to blame? You're right, I got the blame for it, because he couldn't do it. Well, I want to be very frank with you. He was a good fella, a very nice fella, but he wasn't perfect. He hadn't reached the plane he thought he'd reach. So after the first semester, a freshman was permitted then to move where he wanted to. I told him, I said, I'm moving out. He said, oh, no. He says, where are you going? Well, I said, I'm going to move down the hallway here. The fella, he and I have been out. We wrestled together, worked out on the football team, although both of us worked and we couldn't go with the team. But we could work out with him, and I'd got acquainted with him, and I said to this roommate of mine, I said, I've met a fella down the hallway. He's just as mean as I am, and I'm going to room with him. So this fellow was greatly distressed that I'd move out. Well, I did, and he didn't get a roommate after that, I understand. And so what happened was, this fella I roomed with, he was as mean as I am, and he and I got along wonderfully well, so much so that I still see him down in the state of Florida. When I go down there, he's an old man now, but I go down and he and I always have a wonderful time together. We generally have 2 or 3 days together because he's still mean, although he has sweetened up a little, but he's not perfect by any means. And may I say to you, when you feel like that you've reached that state of perfection, I sure feel sorry for your husband or for your wife, whichever you are, because you're really going to have a hard time living with a perfect individual. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, we can't bring ourselves up to God's level. That's impossible. You just can't bring yourself up and say that you ever reach perfection at all. Now, a great many people, and a lot of good people, like to feel that they do reach that plane. I had another instance, if I may illustrate this, because I think this is important, right here in Pasadena. When I first came here, there was a very lovely man. He acted for a while as chaplain in a jail, and he was just a wonderful, enthusiastic Christian. I had no criticism of it, but he met me on the street one day, and he said, Brother Vernon, I got sanctified last night. I said, you did? What really happened to you? He says, well, I've now reached the plane where I don't sin. Well, I said, believe me, you sure needed to reach that plane, and I'm glad to hear you reached it. So I didn't see him for a while after that, but one of my officers of the church I served at the time lived next door to him. And his son had come to visit this man that had reached perfection, and he came in a trailer. And he took the trailer and backed it up in the backyard, and he put part of it over on the property of the man that was an officer in my church. Well, he didn't say anything for a while, and it looked like the boy's going to move in and stay there. And he didn't say anything, but the time came when he wanted to build a shed on that particular spot. And his neighbor knew it, and he kept waiting, and finally couldn't wait any longer. And so he said to his neighbor one day, ask him if he wouldn't move the trailer, have his son move the trailer. And this fellow lost his temper and really told him off what kind of a neighbor he thought he was. The trailer was just hanging over a few feet, but it was preventing this man from building there, something he wanted to build on his own property. Oh, but he really lost his temper. And he just casually told me about it. So I just couldn't wait to meet that fellow after that. In fact, I looked him up. And when I met him finally, I said to him, didn't you tell me that you got sanctified? He said, yes. Well, I said, when you get sanctified, that means you reach the plane of sinless perfection? He said, yes, as I think I've reached it. Well, I said, look, your neighbor, he's a member of my church, and he tells me that you really lost your temper the other day and told him off in a very unkind, unchristian manner. And he said, well, he began to hum and haw. He says, that I guess I did. And he says, I guess maybe I did lose my temper. But he says, that's not sin. Oh, I said, it's not sin? Well, what is it then? Well, he says, I just made a mistake. And I shouldn't have done it. I recognize that. I shouldn't have done it. And so that's not a sin. Well, I said, I want you to shake hands with me now because I've reached that plane too that you've reached. I don't sin. I just make mistakes. And I make a lot of them, brother. But I said, I think the Word of God would make it very clear to you to lose your temper and bawl your neighbor out is a sin. And you're certainly not to be angry in a case like that. Now, may I say to you, who do you deceive when you say you have no sin? You deceive yourself, and you're the only person that you do deceive. You don't deceive God. You don't deceive your neighbors. You don't deceive your friends. But you sure do deceive yourselves. And that's the reason the truth's not in a man like that, because he can't see that he is a sinner, and that he's not reached the place of sinless perfection. That's the second way.